to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. One of the great themes of the book of Galatians is justification by faith. I want you to listen to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 now. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law is no flesh. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Wow. Notice the repeat here. By faith, not by works. By faith, not by works. The answer to that question was being challenged in Paul's day by the Jews that had believed in Jesus, but they were teaching that in order to be saved, you had to be circumcised. But Paul's answer was, no. It's not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, let's consider our father Abraham. Now, who would question that? Galatians chapter 3. Verses 6 through 9. Do y'all stand for the reading of Scripture? Okay, you may be seated. I forgot to ask him that. All right? Because some churches do, our church does, but that's not a problem with me. Galatians chapter 3, got it? Start with verse 6 through 9. Even as Abraham believed God, now I want you to listen to it. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God. Now, let us for a moment, from the Word of God, from the divine record, consider the timeline of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, at the age of 75, Abram, as he was first called, was told by God to leave the land of his fathers and to a land that God would show him. And amen, he obeyed. Then in Genesis chapter 15, at the age around 84, God gives Abram a promise of an heir that would come through Sarah, which was Isaac, the son of promise. Now, at this point, I want you to notice from God's Word in verses 5 and 6 of Genesis 15. It says this, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then in Genesis chapter 22, now Abraham, around 133 years old, God was called to offer up Isaac, his only son of promise, which is recorded, a good recording in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. I like the wording there. You know why? Because of who he was a type of. You see that? His only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. According that as God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, in between these times, in Genesis chapter 17, at the age of 99, God commands circumcision, a sign of a covenant that Abram, who is now becomes Abraham, would be the father of many nations. Now, let us understand the timeline. 24 years before God commanded circumcision, 24 years before God made a covenant that would set aside a nation that would be called Israel, And 400 years before God gave the law, Abraham was saved by faith. By faith. So when Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, carries us back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Before there was circumcision, before there was a covenant, Abraham believed God. I'm bringing you a message today on salvation according to the Scriptures. Salvation according to the Scriptures. Now go to verse 7. Verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, I like this, the same are the children of Abraham. That's for everyone that's of faith. The false teachers were saying that they which are of the circumcision are the true sons of Abraham. But Paul says, no, no, no. It is not by the works of righteousness which we have done. It's not the works lest any man should boast. Listen to the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6. You can turn there. John chapter 6, verse 26 through 29. John 6, 26 through 29. I love this. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, now listen to this question, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Settles it. That, I could sit down and be complete. Wow. Now go back to verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice the word accounted. It's a passive verb, which means it's not Abraham that's doing the accounting. It's God. Amen. I love Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Amen. When Abraham believed God, God accounted him, Abraham, righteous. The word is a word of fact. Not of supposition, not of an opinion. It means, now remember this, it means reckoned. God declared it so. It means impute. God put it on his account. Listen, when a man and woman, boy or girl, puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God declares them righteous, justified before God. Justified before God. Is this not the big question? How can a sinful person be declared justified before a holy God? It's because God does the accounting. You see, today without Jesus Christ, we stand condemned. We stand naked in our sin. But war, the moment one receives Jesus Christ by faith, the righteousness of Christ covers them. God, a holy God, no longer sees me in my sin, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Are you covered in his righteousness this morning? I love Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. In the context of this verse, it's springing forth the seed of faith among all nations in this verse. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Listen to it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Amen. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with his ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He covers us with his righteousness. So, by Abraham's own testimony, how is one saved? First, one must come in faith, believing God. One must be declared righteous by God. But then I want you to notice the third one. It is according to the Scriptures. It's according to the Scriptures. Verse 8. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And the Scripture, that means what God has said, what God has declared. The Scripture was given to us by God. But the Scripture. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. I love this verse. Galatians 3, 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. Wow. Go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, Jesus is speaking, verse 37 and 39, through 39. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, I question oftentimes people with their testimonies who would tell me of a time of supposedly getting saved, but there was just no change in their life. And all the years I have come to realize that that can be a process with God working in a person's life. But sooner or later, they will come to the Scriptures. And they'll have to see themselves as the Scriptures say you must see yourself to come to God. It says, as the Scripture has said, and guess what happens? The new birth takes place. Amen. Immediately. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We know the time frame there. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. Let me ask you today, do you know that you have Bible salvation? Salvation according to the Scriptures. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Wow. Let me tell you something. The word gospel means what? Good news. Can you imagine this good news to Abraham? He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then saying so, he says, in thee shall all nations, I love that, be blessed. Now, let's notice the Scripture, therefore. Are you ready? If you have your Bibles, I definitely want you to turn here. Because I hope some of you get excited. If you hadn't got excited already, I hope you'll get excited before we finish these verses. Romans chapter 4, a divine commentary. The best commentary of the Bible is what? The Bible itself. Amen. Look at verses 1 through 25. I'm going to read them. Here we go. Romans chapter 4, start with verse 1. What shall we say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Question. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15, verse 6. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Are you getting excited yet? And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. I like that, don't you? All the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, and that's Genesis 17, is it not? Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Amen? And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Now hang on to your false teeth. Get excited here. If you can. If you've been born again, you can, okay? You ready? But unto us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Woo! That's a prophetic passage in my life. How about yours? Amen. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Woo! That gets me excited. I don't know about you. We could probably have a good testimony service on salvation today, when you realize what God has done for you. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed. That carries me back. It carries me back to the day when I was 8 years old sitting beside my mama and my daddy was a-preaching. Yeah. We were on the third row. I was sitting beside my mama and by the aisle. We had those old slat benches. And the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. I literally did. I'm in the third row. And buddy, 8 years old, but I was gripping the pew. And this is exactly what happened. I stepped out and I stepped back in. I stepped out and I stepped back in. And on the third time when I stepped out, it just wouldn't come back in. And so the only leg would move was this one. I moved it and I was right in the middle of the aisle. And it's at that moment, praise God, God saved me. It wasn't when I got down to the front. I was the preacher's kid. I was always in church. I heard the Sunday school. I heard the truth. I knew that Billy needed to be saved. And I struggled right there. But when I obeyed and moved that other leg and I was in the middle of the aisle, my heart was happy. I began to weep. I went down the aisle weeping. And I was weeping for joy because the Lord has saved me. That seems just like yesterday. I could take you to the place. Matter of fact, some years ago, when my mother, she passed in 2006. So it's before my mother passed. I said, Mom, I said, I want you to go somewhere with me. She said, where's that, son? I said, I want us to go to West Highland Baptist Church. And I want us, you and me, to go, and I want to sit on the third bench. And I want to be in the place, once again, that the Lord saved me. She said, yes, son, I'll do it. And so we went. Praise the Lord. God saved me that day. I could take you, yes, to the place. I could take you to the place where I surrendered to preach at the age of 18. I can take you to the place where God called me to join the army as a mission field. I can take you to a place when God called us to go back to Korea. Why? Because it's there that God dealt with my heart. They'll never be forgotten. Amen. And some of you are going back, aren't you? It's okay. You might not shout in this church, but I tell people, I don't mind you standing up and shouting as long as you come down walking straight. Help yourself. Get excited for what the Lord Jesus has done for you. And let others know it. Amen. Oh, thank God for His saving grace. Faith and trust in Him. Now, after reading that, I got a question for you. According to the Scriptures, what was Abraham when he got saved? He was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. He is the father of faith. He's the father of us all. Now, I'm not a Jew by blood, but I am a child of Abraham by faith. There's only one child of God today is the child of faith. And my faith and trust in Jesus Christ put me into the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thank God for that. Oftentimes when I start praying, I said, Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You that You're the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You're the God of the Old Covenant. You're the God of the New Covenant, which included me. Amen. If you're here today and you're not saved, listen to it. And the Scripture foreseeing, that means right here today, that God would justify the heathen. Now what's a heathen? An unbeliever. I was in a church years ago in North Carolina. I was speaking to a Sunday school class, or an elderly class. And I said, do y'all have any heathens around here? And one of the men says, oh no, we don't have any heathens around here. He was one of the deacons of the church. But I knew what he was thinking. Huh? A heathen is someone, you know, in a jungle somewhere running around naked and don't know anything. Well, I'm afraid that those wooden jungles has creeped upon us. Huh? Because it's called asphalt jungles of America. A heathen is an unbeliever. And if you are here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to look down at you and say, you're just a heathen. I'm going to say, look at this verse. It says that God would justify the heathen. Is that not good news or what? Through faith. That simply means your trust, your belief in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. A time, a place. It included you. It included me. Why? Because He died for all men. He shed His blood for all men. That means you. And when I understood that as a boy, I got excited. And you don't know what? I stay excited. How can you not? Huh? I was sharing this the other day about the new song mentioned in Scripture. The new song is praise unto our Lord. The word new there means not something new that's yet in eternity, but something that's fresh. David could sing that new song of praise because it was the praises of God was fresh that day from yesterday. Listen to me. If you are hanging on yesterday, it's stagnant by now. God wants it fresh. That's why He tells us we are to be what? Renewed day by day. Aren't you glad that God created a day? Can you imagine one day being a month and having to hang on to things for a month? At least that's my thinking, you know. Day by day. I'm glad. Now, some of you had to hang on a long time here in the summertime in Alaska because it's just the sun don't even go down. But I'm glad that that's not talking about that. But it is day by day where it'll be renewed. So it's freshness to me. I make it a point that the promises of God are fresh upon Bill Stewart's heart every single day. I do not want to leave my house without feeling the freshness of the promise that I had yesterday. Whew, that was exciting. That helped me yesterday. To have it fresh upon my soul today because the day is a new day. By the way, do you realize that this day has never been before? Of all of time, this day, right here today, that you're experiencing has never been before. And when it is past, it will never be again. And so what you do today, let the day be the day of salvation. It's the heathen, the unbeliever, that means you, that meant me, preached before the gospel. Just as I'm preaching the gospel today, preach the gospel unto Abraham. Wow. The gospel was not just the New Testament, was it? No, the good news of redemption has been from the very beginning of time. Amen. Wow. Go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Our father Abraham, when he was saved, he was a Gentile. Now notice again. And the Scripture, foreseeing that he would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now I get excited about that. And I'm glad that this church is a mission church. Matter of fact, I believe with all my heart that a church is not a New Testament church if it's not involved in the heartbeat of God. World evangelism. Missions. But I get excited when I go to Revelation chapter 5. We see the Lamb before the throne. And it says in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, from every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation is going to be there. And they all have something in common. Guess what it is? Faith in Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 9. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm glad that I had a dad that got saved and called. But notice here, our father Abraham. What a heritage that I enter into the moment you trust Christ. You go all the way back to your father Abraham, the father of faith. So, in closing, salvation according to the Scriptures. First, one must come by faith and not by works. It's not the works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. God declares righteous. That's why it's real. Have you ever thought how you can meet so many people around the world you've never met before, and you sit down, and if you know the Lord, wow. Immediately, there's a kindred spirit. If they don't, guess what? You have to struggle with culture. Have to struggle how they think, how they, you know. Well, that's just the way we do it. That's how we are. I was aboard ship, a luxury liner out of Athens, Greece, Israeli liner, headed to Israel. On deck was an elderly man that was very distinguished looking. And he looked like he had a Bible in his hand. And so I went over and I went behind him to look and see if it was a Bible. And it sure looked like the Scripture, but I didn't quite understand it. So I entered in front of him, and I recognized that he was a German man and didn't speak much English, and I didn't speak any German. And so I just used terms that I thought he might, you know, reading the Bible. I said, Christian? And he nodded his head. So I went to my room, and I got my Bible. And I went back, and my Bible, English Bible, and his German Bible. And guess how we communicated? We communicated in the Scriptures. And I'll never forget it. Just in passing. But we communicated in the Scriptures. So one must come by faith, not by works. God declares righteous. And it's according to the Scriptures. Bible salvation is by faith and not by works. Let's pray.